Welcome to your home for Red Fox Athletic News. This is the Hartsville Sports Network podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Hartsville Sports Network podcast. I'm your host, Demai Bishop, and I'm here with
Jazzy Ferguson,
Tucker Polson.
You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, Spotify, and, of course, the home of the Red Foxes, hhsredfoxes.com. Make sure to like, share, subscribe, and five-star rate. So how was y'all spring break?
It was good. I went to Washington, D.C. In Washington, D.C., I went to the African-American Museum. Saw Abraham Lincoln, all the monuments pretty much, and then I went to New York and saw everything there and then came back.
And found out why it was called the Big Apple.
Yeah. I still don't really understand it, but yeah.
I didn't do a whole lot during spring break. I worked most of the time, but I know I went to the lake one of the days, and it was hot outside, but the water was cold. So I didn't swim a whole lot. I didn't get in a whole lot. But Sunday, I went uptown. And that's about it. I mean, I went uptown and just did, like, hung out with a couple of my friends. But we didn't really do a whole lot. What about you, Demaya? How was your spring break?
My spring break was good. I went to the beach with my friends. And we hung out. And that was about it.
How do y'all feel about school coming to an end?
It came quick.
It did. I was going to say, look, like, everybody's always excited for school to end, but, like, I'm about to be a junior, and, like, I mean, it's probably, like, Demaya's about to graduate. You're about to be a senior. Like, that's wild to think about. Like, I'm happy, but low-key, like, I wish it slowed down a little bit.
Yeah, it went by too fast.
It did.
Way too fast. Because I remember, first day of freshman year, like, it was yesterday. So
all 4 years, my 4 years flew.
I'm just saying, like, it feels like I just now got here. Now it's time for the Red Fox weekend review.
On April 6th, the Hartsville softball team celebrated their four seniors with a 6-5 win over Wilson. Hartsville senior pitcher Trinity Davis got the win, throwing 5 innings, giving up 5 runs, 4 earned, striking 3, and senior Tatum Waver pitched the last 2 innings, giving up 1 hit, striking out 1 for the save. At the plate, senior Caden Thompson was 2-for-3, scoring a run with 1 RBI, and their other senior, Avery Easters, with 1-for-2 with an RBI.
On the diamond, the Red Fox baseball team was able to split the season series with West Florence with a 2-0 win on April 6th. Hartsville scored a run in the first inning that proved to be enough for the win. In that inning, Dawson McKimmy led off with a hit by pitch. Jackson Moore singled into right field, moving McKimmy to third. McKimmy would score on a ground ball by Andrew Askins to give the Foxes the lead. The Foxes added a run in the second after an error on a hard ground ball by McKimmy scored McKendry Douglas. John Alexander was the starting pitcher for the Red Foxes. He went 6 innings, allowing only 2 hits while striking out 9 batters. Dawson Lloyd pitched the final inning for the save, striking out 1.
On the pitch, April 6th, the Lady Red Fox soccer team defeated Brooklyn Casey in a 9-region match 3-1. Hartsville scored 2 first-half goals, both by Chloe Jewell. The first was assisted by Mia Blanford in the 27th minute. The second goal was just before the first half ended in the 37th minute. In the second half, Mia Blanford scored a goal, assisted by Sarah Preston Hall, to put the Foxes up 3-0. The Bearcats avoided the shutout with a late goal of one of their own.
Back on the diamond, on April 12th, John Alexander had another outstanding performance on the mound, and he threw a complete game shutout for the Red Foxes. Hartsville beat Belton O'Neill Path 4-0 in their third game of the Southeastern Baseball Classic. Alexander got the win with 7 inning pitch, striking out 9 batters with only 1 walk and 4 hits allowed. At the plate, the Foxes belted out 15 hits. Andrew Askins and McKendry Douglas led the way with 3 hits apiece.
Here's Coach Boo with the upcoming events for the week of April 17th.
Coach Boo, what athletic schedule for this week?
So the schedule this week is kind of nearing the end of our region and season, regular seasons for our spring sports. So we're getting right towards the end now. Spring break's over. We had a fun spring break with the SBC. Our baseball team hosts that big tournament every year. And so it was another big success this year with Georgia Premier winning the championship. So that's kind of going the recap of spring break. I know you didn't quite ask that, but moving into this week, we got a lot on the road this week. So today we got some non-region stuff with tennis going to Sumter, softball traveling to PD Academy, and JV baseball going to Sherrill. Tuesday is all North Myrtle Beach. We got boys soccer and softball traveling to them. And then we got baseball, girls soccer, and tennis all hosting North Myrtle Beach in kind of one of the last region matchups of the year. And then on Wednesday, baseball is home versus Andrew Jackson. JV's on the road. And then we're on the road on Thursday with track, golf, and tennis. And then on Friday, we host West Florence in baseball or softball and boys soccer. Girls soccer is on the road to West Florence. And then baseball travels to end everything at North Myrtle Beach as far as the regular season is concerned in region play. Our track, we had a couple events qualify for the Elite Coaches Classic, which you have to have certain times. You got to be in the top 16 in the state. So we got some people going to that, which is pretty strong. It's always always good to see some of our guys or girls going to that one. And then the rest of our track team will also be at Wilson just doing a makeup from a bad weather day earlier in the year. And then we travel into the last week of the regular season next week. So another full slate, but a lot of it this week's on the road. We got a few home days. So come out, catch your Red Foxes.
Thank you, Coach Boob.
Today we're going to introduce a new segment to the show. Each week, we'll be covering a topic concerning us, the students here at Hartsville High.
Today, we will be discussing school safety. Tucker, do you truly feel safe on the campus?
I feel like sometimes more than others. There's a lot of factors that go into whether, it's not just one thing that makes you feel safe anywhere, honestly. I mean, there's many things that go into feeling like you're in a safe environment.
What about you?
Most of the time, I would say. And then continuing on what he's saying, there's sometimes it depends on the situation, to be honest.
Maya, do you feel safe on campus?
I'd say, I feel safe by the teachers because I know that they try to, since we in their hands at the moment, if something happened. But I feel like I probably would have felt safer if it was, a schoolhouse. It's like an open campus kind of.
Right.
So it's a lot of ways, strangers can just enter the campus, and it's a lot of kids that just be walking around. You never know where they at. But it's a good thing that all the buildings do stay locked. So.
Talking about kind of the middle school where it was just all one building.
Yeah.
Whereas, here, right off the bus ramps, there's, a whole neighborhood, and there's an apartment complex across the street from the student parking lot. So, I mean, I understand what you're saying.
I guess it's just half and half.
Right. Why don't you feel safe? Jazz, why don't you feel safe?
It was the same thing as her. It's like an open campus. You don't know who might come in, when they might come in. I mean, but the buildings are locked, but, during class interchange, what if someone just wanders on the campus?
Yeah.
There's nothing you could really do about
it. Yeah. I mean, I think it's more, more or less, I don't think that's really the biggest thing. I mean, during lockdown drills and stuff, there are some teachers that take lockdown drills more serious than others. And then, there's other things that factor in, the classrooms. Some classrooms are more, take Ms. Campbell's classroom, for example, Ms. Newman's classroom. You have, that whole closet area back there where there's no windows or nothing, where, if somebody were to get in and we all went back there, we'd be fine. But then there's also classrooms like the other classrooms in Building 7 where there's those windows and stuff like that where, they can kind of see in and there's nowhere for you to really get, because we're all supposed to get in a corner away from the door. Mm-hmm. But even sometimes in certain classrooms, there's not really
a hideout.
Right, there's nowhere to really go in some classrooms.
What do you think would make you feel safer?
I can't really, like, I don't know. Maybe. I really don't know because, like, I mean, the campus just, I already said it. Probably just, like, the only way, like, if something go down, more campus supervisors. Like, something like that. But
I feel like.
Not too much I can really say.
I feel like our IDs should be put to use a little more. Like, I mean, I know we have to wear them and stuff, but, like, I know some schools that have to use them to get in the building and.
Oh, yeah.
All that kind of stuff like that. So, true. I mean, we're just wearing them so they can, like, identify that we are students. But anyone could easily get a hold of a red lanyard and ID card. So, I feel like that's something that we could put in place maybe. Jess?
I mean, I agree with you. I mean, but there's nothing really we could do about, like, the campus setup. It's already been set up.
Yeah. Right. I mean, we can't change how to build
it. But the ID thing, like, you know, getting doors, that would have been a good
right. idea. Because it's like you said, like, yeah, somebody can get on campus, but when we're in buildings, I mean, these doors, the front doors are 9 times out of 10 unlocked, even when we are in the buildings. So, which, I mean, there's always somebody, like, out on campus, like, Mr. Tony and Mr. Hemsworth and all that, but I mean, somebody getting on campus really hitting a huge deal because we're in a classroom for an hour and a half. We get 5 minutes. So
well, another good thing is that all the doors, like, in the classroom stay locked.
Right.
Since the outside buildings don't really be locked.
Yeah.
When we swipe in classes.
Yeah.
We are lucky to have Assistant Principal Mr. Lennard with us to discuss some of the safety plans in this place.
Yeah, appreciate you all inviting me to at least have some opportunity to have some discourse regarding the school safety. So I wrote down some points. You know, one of the issues, and I think Jazz said it best, is that this is an open campus and its design will not change. And so it's not by any means a perfect situation. We do have campus security. They do provide a little bit of eyes out on the campus throughout the day. But because we have so many ways to get in and out of our campus, it almost seems a little futile, but they do provide a significant amount of supervision throughout the day. Just because they are constantly moving throughout buildings, bathrooms, and they're able to see the front and the back of the campus and what they do. So they help out a lot. Could we possibly need more? We could probably use a few more, but I don't know how much that would help either. What I'd like to see possibly is... you know, other schools that I've been at, I can give you Richland Northeast, for example, in Columbia. We had a full-time security person over our student parking lot, and that person monitored the comings and goings of students throughout the day and only allowed those students with parking passes onto our campus. Although limited, that did provide an extra amount of supervision on our campus when we were in high school. Brought up the point about lockdown situations. There are some rooms that are better off than others, just because there's extra hiding spaces, if you will. They're low visibility areas, so there's no windows in those. I would like to see our district commit to putting blinds in all of our windows on the lower floors, and that's something that we've kind of been waiting on a little while to get some work accomplished, just to give us no eyes inside the room in the event of a lockdown situation. And that will help out quite a bit. The last thing that came up is the IDs. And I think that is huge. We have our IDs. We pretty much use those for identification purposes only. You can check out books with them. You can, you know, use your eat with your school lunch for them. But the district looks forward to potentially putting a chip in each of the student IDs. Now, this makes it more expensive. So that's important. But each chip will allow the same point of access that teachers have. The thing about our IDs is as we scan into each of these buildings, it puts a, it tells who the person is that's entering the building, what time they've entered the building. And then it will also kind of, once you walk inside the building, it keys the video camera system. These are important pieces for supervision, safety, and security. And I think they're very necessary for students because of the openness of our campus, I feel like it is best for us to lock all of our doors on our campus. As mentioned, they are open 90% of the time throughout the school day, unless we are in some type of lockdown situation. That would help out significantly. I think that's the biggest piece. So if we can get our students to have an ID, that will allow them access in and out of the building so that we can lock our campus, that will help.
Thank you, Mr. Leonard. Always a pleasure having you on the show.
I appreciate it. Thank y'all for even having this discussion. I think it's very important. I'm glad that students are questioning how are we going about our procedures to make sure that they are safe, because inevitably we are living in a society where unfortunately, mass shootings are becoming a regular occurrence. And I know because those things are happening so regularly, people want to know what is the response of the schools and the districts. And so we are constantly trying to find the best solution to make sure that our students are safe. And it is hard work, I promise you. But I thank you all for looking into that.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for listening. Once again, remember you can listen to Hearts of Sports Network on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and, of course, the home of the Red Foxes, hhsredfoxes.com. I'm your host, Damaya Bishop, and I'm here with
Jazzy Frierson.
Tucker Polson.
We're out. Boom! We'll be right back.